Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian later in the program. Dan Dickow, former NBA player, later in the show as well. Our next guest, the voice of American soccer. I bought stock in John Strong years ago. It was like Tesla stock. It went straight up. This is a guy that you have seen call World Cup games, MLS games, any kind of game that matters. He's now doing some college football as well, and he's joining us live via satellite from where? Where are you, John Strong?
An undisclosed location outside of Portland, the Strong Family Isolation Bunker.
I like that.
Should I have been writing you a check? I feel like you haven't been getting your dividends on that. Is that an issue?
I'm good. I'm just holding.
Okay.
I'm in it for the long haul. Okay. I think you'll end up as the studio host for an Olympics one day.
There would be many, many things that would have to happen between now and then, including the Olympics, you know, occurring. So
yeah.
I think we'll... Can I briefly, just to put this out there as a disclaimer... whatever jokes you and I make in the course of this conversation, this is all very real stuff. This is all very serious stuff. The Strong family is taking very seriously our role in stopping this and is very harshly judging those of you knuckleheads out there who are not, those of you who went to the coast this weekend among those. So, you know, just a disclaimer here that any laughing that we do is not trying to, you know, express a viewpoint on this whole larger thing. But
I think we should run that every segment, that as a PSA.
Like, it's because that exists. And listen, even if I did not have currently a member of my family in intensive care in Colorado dealing with COVID right now, I would still feel that way. So I think, but yes, that being said, let's laugh and joke. And how'd you phrase it? Bring some sunshine, I think.
We got to. We have to. I got to admit, yesterday I was a little depressed. At the end of the show, I thought, you know, I went outside. It was the first time all day I had been outside. I kind of stood out in the driveway and I kind of looked around and I thought, okay, it's still sunny. I think we've got to look for those little moments where our mental sanity has to be there. And I woke up today much more in a better frame of mind, got my coffee. And I thought to myself, we're going to get through this. We're humans. We're all in it together. But right now we need to stay away from each other.
Yeah, I think the mental side of it's important. The way that I have dealt with it is basically to isolate myself mentally. I'm not exaggerating. I've not been on Twitter once since two Thursdays ago, which is when everything got shut down in the soccer world. I've not been on one news website. I sometimes clash heads with my wife because she's trying to be up to date on what's going on, and I sort of, you know, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Because some of it is it brings fear and anxiety. Some of it is it brings a sort of depression where it's like, you know, how long is this going to go? And so, yeah, I'm very much like my mom in that way. We sort of go to our little happy place, our little bubble of sunshine and magic, and exist there. And then you tell me when soccer's going again, and we'll emerge from the bunker and we'll get back to it. Because yeah, this is unprecedented is an understatement. It's interesting that I found myself over the last year. I've read three different books. One right now is a biography of Walter Cronkite that take place in part during World War II, and it's an interesting comparison in different ways of, you know, things that at least those of us in the U.S. we haven't really had to deal with that are quite on the scale. Localized, yes, things like Hurricane Katrina, the aftermath of September 11th. You know, this is sort of different level stuff. And then yeah, when you have kids, and it's like we're trying to explain to the 6-year old why he doesn't go to school, why he doesn't see his friends, without, you know, because he's too smart for his own good, kind of like I was. And so you don't want to give him too much information. So, yeah, these things are sort of fascinating to figure out in real time.
John Strong with us, Fox Sports play-by-play, formerly with NBC, the Portland Timbers, and this radio show.
The music was a lot better when I was on this radio show, by the way, but I'll leave it there.
Debatable. Let me ask you, you know, soccer right now the Olympics get canceled. Everybody's looking at college football and the NFL saying, is that going to happen? Are they going to get off on time? How concerned are soccer people about the games going on and getting back to regular life?
Well, so, and this is an example of where when you say soccer, you mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
That soccer is such a global sport. There are so many things going on simultaneously. So the Olympic Games, which on the women's side are a major tournament, on the men's side slightly less so. So that's not going to happen. We've already postponed the European Championships, which is, you know, sort of a second biggest soccer tournament every 4 years, to the World Cup. That's already been pushed back a summer. The European League shut down at a time when they were closing in on the end of their season. And so that's been the conversation is, depending on how long this goes, do you try to play out the rest of the season? Do you try to find ways to jam in the Champions League and things like that? That was a part of the impetus for pushing back the European Championships, was just to say, we need to finish these domestic titles. You know, and I can tell you, for one, this is, I mean, I don't have inside information, but I'm confident saying this. Some of these European leagues are desperate to get back on the field. They would be more than happy to play behind closed doors at empty stadiums. If that was part of why the Premier League pushed really hard, really long to try to keep playing, because anyone that can be playing games right now has 100% of the market share globally for people to be tuning in and watching. And it took two coaches and a handful of players on different teams being diagnosed with COVID for the Premier League to finally go, okay, fine. In the U.S., the situation is slightly different. MLS, USL, NWSL at the beginnings of their seasons. And what's different, and this is why, you know, when the conversation started up about playing games at empty stadiums with the NBA and the NHL, that was never really a conversation in soccer. And the reason for that is MLS, unlike the other sports leagues in the U.S., the other soccer leagues in Europe, does not have a big, massive TV contract they can fall back on. The primary revenue source for every MLS team, the Timbers included, is game day revenue. It's tickets, it's concessions, it's all the money you make from each of your 17 home games in the regular season. And so there's a lot more pressure to try to make sure you're getting all those games in. There's a lot financially at stake. It's a lot more difficult, the notion, beyond the sort of fanciful idea that, oh, the players can't get it, as long as the fans aren't there, we'll be fine, of playing these games behind closed doors. So already MLS has floated out there, you know, playing MLS Cup in late December, basically pushing the whole season back, trying to get everything in. But it's going to be, and there was a New York Times sports writer two Thursdays ago who made this point. The easier thing right now is shutting everything down. The much more difficult thing that's going to be is putting it all back in action again. A, when does that happen and what are the green lights? But B, you know, you're going to have all of these stadiums, all of these arenas trying to reschedule events, television networks, everything else. The MLS schedule is hard enough to make on its own because you got a lot of teams that are sharing a stadium. And so it's not like they have first pick of dates. And so that's going to be the really challenging part for every sports league, is to figure out how to put everything back together and how to make it all work and figure out scheduling across different leagues and all that. And MLS, as I said, at the best of times, it's difficult for MLS to figure some of those things out. So that's going to be a real challenge and an important one to make sure that they play every single one of these games this year.
John Strong with us, voice of American soccer, broadcaster, dabbling in football now as well. You and I were texting about this, but there are going to be some things that come out of this social distancing era. For example, this show, I'm doing this show at home. I've got a studio.
You're
why
never
not?
Going back.
Why not?
This is you. They will never see you again at the studio downtown.
What do you think comes out of this? What changes do you anticipate or are you fascinated by?
Well, you know, one of them, as people have pointed out, you know, that companies can still, in one sense, function with everyone telecommuting. You know, do we need everyone in person at meetings? Do we need everyone sitting in an office in a cubicle to be able to function and get work done? You know, I think a lot of journalists have expressed concern that closing off locker rooms, limiting the access to players, might be something that continues. I'm interested to see, because part of it is societally, right? Is there a concern that this is going to happen again? Are there needed preventative measures that are going to have to be remaining in place to prevent this type of thing? Because we had already seen a trend in recent years, the NBA in particular, football to a certain extent, soccer as well, trying to get, if you're willing to pay for it, fans as close as possible to the players. So the way that you have all these seats, you know, right on the court in the NBA, the way you have these lounges where the players will walk through on their way in and out from the locker room, does that change? Do you have to start putting more distance in between journalists and between fans and between the players? You know, is there an increasing amount of, like, again, just ask, do we need to be doing this? I mean, that was something that we kicked around. Like, okay, do we start calling more games off of monitor as opposed to being there in person? Is there a concern with, you know, air travel and things like that? I mean, it's a bad comparison in one sense, but think about how incredibly different the air travel experience is now as compared to what it was before September 11th and how much became the new normal. Some of that is going to be economic. Some of that is just going to be from an efficiency standpoint. But also, are there going to be ways in which, you know, leagues or teams, somewhat more cynically perhaps, sort of go, you know what, if we don't have to have this amount of media access, if we don't have to have these types of things, which are in one way the bane of our existence, maybe we can sort of, you know, keep this becoming the new normal under the guise of, you know, trying to prevent the spread of infectious disease.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about fans coming back to stadiums, too. I think it was already challenging enough with the competition that was coming from that large screen TV in their living room. I wonder how many fans, especially those 60 and older, will just say, hey, going to games, it's going to have to be a special occasion thing. I don't know if I should be a season ticket holder.
Well, and you're right, that's become an increasing issue. I mean, I remember we did a game in Kansas City last year, and they said, we're not going to sell the game out. I'm like, what do you mean? You guys always sell out. And goes, the team official I was talking to said, listen, the Royals, the Chiefs, this was before their run to the Super Bowl, we all talk, it's the same issue. Trying to get people to come to the game is a lot harder. And, you know, is it the same way, okay, last night we did our grocery shopping via our phone and had it delivered. And it's like, okay, you know, do we ever go grocery shopping again? Does that just become easier? The interesting counterpoint my wife had, actually, was, depending especially on how long this self-isolation goes, do people start craving more of a communal experience, though? Do people start craving getting out and being back around people and being at a stadium? And, you know, again, I think part of that, we've yet to see that first American sports league try out a game at an empty stadium. You know, there was talk about it. I think professional wrestling has done that with some of their shows. But does that happen? What does that look like? And is that something that people sort of go, oh, maybe that wasn't that bad to watch. Maybe that wasn't that bad to deal with. Or is everyone sort of horrified by it? And there's a real push to say, you know what? We need to lower ticket prices. We need to do this. We need to do that. We really, it's a good reminder of how important it is to the experience, both in the stadium, but also the experience on television, to have that atmosphere. But I agree with you that what has already been an issue, sort of put into greater relief from this situation. And I'm interested to see what do the leagues and the teams do to react to that, and what's the fan behavior of, do we all just start doing everything sort of remotely and off our phones and off our TVs, and do we all just start going out less? I don't know.
John Strong with us, Fox Sports, voice of American soccer. You've also heard him on NBC calling World Cup, calling college football. How was college football, by the way?
What about the dog show? I don't get a shout for the dog show.
Dog show. Yeah, the dog show as well. How was that? Like, you know,
it was like the most fun thing I've ever done. I love the dog show. The dog show is incredible. I was warned when I started to do it, like, these people are very sensitive. They're sort of like the soccer people in some ways. Don't make references to the movie Best in Show. They really don't like that movie. What I discovered very quickly is the key thing is, are you laughing with them or are you laughing at them? And the fact that I came in and tried to demonstrate to everyone for whom this is their life that, hey, I respect what you're doing. I'm interested in it. I want to learn. I want to understand. I want to take it seriously. Then it was great. And we laughed and we joked and we made references to Best in Show. And we sort of, so all of these things, it was actually incredibly fun. And I asked to keep doing it because I had so much fun doing it. And it was sort of refreshing. That's one of the interesting ironies of the situation is I do the college football, which was fun, was challenging in ways that I anticipated. You know, it was a good reminder, everyone who thinks that they can, oh, I can do a better job than this idiot on TV, I guarantee you can't. There were challenges that I didn't expect. You know, it's college sports, and so there's no expectation of information. So it's like, you know, some guy just disappears in the second quarter, and and you never see him again that game, and you don't hear why. Or you know, it's the third quarter of a game, and it's like, tackle by that guy, because there's 100 dudes on the roster. And so I do that. I do the dog show. I was so excited to get back to soccer. I was so excited to get back to what I know. I had a ton of games in March. I mean, we had the Olympic qualifying tournament. We had CONCACAF Champions League, all of this stuff. And so it was an interesting irony that we basically get 2 weeks into the season, and I'm back, and this is back in my wheelhouse, and then everything sort of gets shut down.
John Strong with us. You know, you got, I don't want to say you got your start on the show, because you were calling high school games back in the day, and then college games. You've always known this is what you want to do. What a blessing that is to know at such a young age what you want to do.
And a blessing that I actually get to do it. I mean, I think a lot of people have dreams. I think it's a lot more rare that you get to keep doing it. And so this situation has been a reminder to me of how lucky I am, how blessed that I am, that I get to do this for a job. I mean, there's a lot of people that work in sports that are hurting right now, because without games, there's no paychecks for a lot of people. And it's been great to see that teams or athletes, or, you know, Fox has stepped up for a lot of people. CBS has stepped up for a lot of people to make sure that those paychecks are still coming, even when there aren't events. And, you know, I've always thought to myself, if it all gets taken away, then what happens? Because it's always a possibility. You know, there's always that. You reminded us that one day when the morning show from the hip-hop station were carting their stuff out. It all ends someday. And so you're almost sort of preparing yourself for that, so when it happens, it's not as devastating. And, you know, if I have to go back to stripping, I'll go back to stripping. That's fine.
Amen.
You know, I'll make ends meet however I can. But this has, and I think that's part of why I've isolated myself from it, because I do miss it so much. I get to do what I deeply love for a job. And so the difficulty of not like an off season, but to have this sort of indefinite pause can be difficult. And so that's where, yeah, like focusing on the kids, focusing on sort of escapist reading, or, you know, I mean, I wish I had time to binge watch TV shows. I laugh at people that are like, what are you doing with your time? I'm like, I got two kids. That's what I'm doing with my time. I have to get up early in the morning if I want to binge watch a TV show. But you find little escapes, you find little things to you know, keep you rolling along. And you realize as well that, you know, as compared to a great many people out there, like, we are fine. There are no complaints here.
John Strong, you're the best. I appreciate your friendship, and I'm glad that you are safe right now and preaching good things. And hopefully we all get back to work and back to stadiums when it's safe. And I hope people continue to distance. But I appreciate you, man.
Well, I know you will continue to distance.
Yeah, that's what I do.
The family joke is that I'm already a big social distancer, so there's not been a big change in my life in that regard. But, you know, in a week or two, when you continue to struggle to fill up 3 hours a day, you know where to find me.
I got
you
no
know
struggle.
I'm available, so
I have we'll no struggle. The only
Good.
I got 24 hours in this day. It's not enough for me. So, Strong, I appreciate you, man.
You say that now. Early days. Thanks, friend.
All right. There he is, John Strong, voice of American soccer. Evidence that if you have a dream and a passion, you follow it, it can lead you places. Try to find a job that you love doing. That's what I tell young people, and that's what John Strong has done. Leave it here. A Big Splash coming up. Every day on the program, we do the Big Splash. Today's no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where? Down there.
But we... The Big Splash! Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
University of Portland apparently sticking with Terry Porter. Basketball coach with the Pilots has not been successful on the court, but amid COVID, coronavirus, all the uncertainty, UP sticking with him. No change this offseason. Porter's 37-92.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.